what we're about today. And I want to say that there's some important teachings here in the scripture today that the Lord gives us. Now, the first thing is about who He Himself is. He asks them a question. He says to the apostles who are with them, He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Who do they say that I am? And they give lots of answers, don't they? Any of you remember any of the answers? Yeah, someone said, maybe some say you're John the Baptist come back to life. Some say maybe you're Elijah who's come back. One of the great prophets has arisen and come back to life. There's lots of different opinions about Jesus. Amen? And then Jesus says, but you, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Now, I want to try to teach all of you young people, but I'm also trying to talk to some of the older folks too. When you read the Bible and the Lord asks a question, guess who's supposed to answer it? You are, the reader. Now, don't just wait to say, well, what does Peter say? Or what does someone else say? You have to answer that question. Who do you say that I am? Do you know Jesus Christ for yourself? There's an old gospel song that just says, yes, I know Jesus for myself. Do you know Him personally? Or you just read about Him in a book? Do you know Jesus Christ based on what He's doing in your life? Do you have a personal testimony? Or are you just at that point in your life where you can say, well, my mother said He's the Lord, or the pastor said He's God, and okay, that's good. That's a good start. But young people, and some of us not so young, at some point, we have to be able to personally testify that He is Lord and God, not simply because we read it in a book. That's important. But we also have to know and to be able to say, I say and have experience that He is the Lord of my life, and that He is putting sin to death, and that He is bringing wonderful and new things alive. Can someone testify? It can't just be on the pages of a book. Precious though the book be, that Bible, this Bible that we have, precious as it is, brothers and sisters, it's still ink spots on paper. It has to be alive in your heart. Someone say amen. So, the first thing that we want to learn today in this scripture is that at some level, we have to listen to the faith of the church, the faith that the Bible teaches us. But at a certain point, we also have to be able to say, it's not just true on the pages of a book, it's true in my life. So, who do you say that I am is an important question. And all of us, church, don't we grow in understanding who Jesus is? I don't have the same understanding of Jesus that I had when I was 12. At least I hope not. I hope I've grown a little bit to understand. Now, the next thing, Peter does answer, and he says, you are the Christ, which is just a word which means in Greek, the Messiah. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one, the one who is to come, the one who is to save Israel. And Peter is saying the right words. But you know, Peter doesn't exactly know what the words mean yet. Because you see, a lot of people at the time of Jesus had an idea of a Messiah who would save them from the wrong political party, who would save them from bad economic conditions. You see, a lot of people thought that when the Messiah comes, He will lead an army and go up against those nasty Romans. And He'll throw them out, and He'll reestablish the kingdom of David, and He'll bring back economic prosperity and worldly power to Israel. And that's what most people were thinking at the time when Jesus came as Messiah. But brothers and sisters, The worst thing in the world is not whatever political party is going on or whatever economic conditions. Your biggest problem and mine is not about politics. It's not about the economy. It's not about paying your bills. Your biggest problem and my biggest problem is our sin. And the Lord has come to save us from sin. So they were told, Joseph and Mary, to name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So Peter is saying, you're the Messiah. But what's going on in his mind isn't necessarily what Jesus means by Messiah. So it is that Peter answers correctly, but he has to grow and understand what the words mean. And so again, young people, I'm hoping that as you go on your faith journey, growing through the years, you too will come to understand that the meaning of some of the words that we use, like Messiah, like Lord, like redemption, like salvation. Sometimes we have some idea what these words mean, but we need to grow. Now, everyone's having a hard time trying to figure out who Jesus is. And in our own day and age, we're not so confused about Jesus being a political figure or the leader of a military or the head of an economy. That isn't our distortion today. But you know what? I think a lot of people struggle with an image of Jesus that's very incomplete today. And what we tend to overemphasize today is that Jesus is just kind of this harmless Mr. Rogers kind of, and some of us who are older remember Mr. Rogers. None of you know Mr. Rogers, do you? All right. But Jesus is just kind of this nice guy who affirms us and does nice things and heals us when we're sick. And Jesus is kind of a nice guy. See what I'm saying? It's not the strong Christ of the Scriptures. It's kind of a weakened, watered-down version of Jesus. And it is true. How many of you know that Jesus is kind, that he's merciful, that he is someone you can go to when you're struggling? But brothers and sisters, it's also true that Jesus has authority, that Jesus is Lord, that he demands our complete, if you will, being completely under his authority. It's kind of like, maybe the best image to keep in mind, I think, of Jesus is that he's like a good doctor. Now, Jesus can heal. How many of you know that? But part of healing is making the diagnosis. Hello? Now, I hope you young people don't have too many experiences of having to go and talk to the doctor. But I can promise you it's coming. You start to get a little older, and things like your hair falls out, and your belly goes out, and, you know. But stuff starts to happen when you get a little older, all right? And stuff stops happening when you get a little older, too. And we start to find ourselves in the doctor's office a little more and a little more. Now, the doctor has to sometimes talk to us about unpleasant things. Or is it just me? I went to the doctor the other day and there was some thought that I might need some minor surgery. And the doctor said, I've got good news for you. I don't recommend surgery at this point. However, we need to talk about your weight. Oh, no, you didn't, did you? You didn't bring that up, did you? Sometimes, you see, Jesus is like that too. Jesus is, he loves us. He wants to console us and give us strength. But Jesus sometimes has to confront us about stuff that's not right in our life. And a lot of people don't want to think about that part of Jesus. But if you open up your Bible and you start to read about Jesus, Jesus didn't just go around patting everybody on the head and saying, you're okay, I like you, you're okay. He sometimes confronted us. He confronted us about the fact that we can be hypocrites, that we can be unkind, unmerciful, unloving, that we don't always control ourselves, that we're sometimes doing things we have no business doing. Jesus called us to repent. He said, you've got to change, or you can't see heaven. Now, think of it again about a doctor. What if you went to a doctor and there were some very serious things wrong with you? Now, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, well, I'm not going to mention any of that. I'm just going to pat them on the head and say, I affirm you. Let's say you go into the doctor with a pretty serious disease or a cancer. Maybe your blood sugar's off the scale, or maybe you've got a cancer, or maybe your pressure is way up there. And the doctor says, well, I just want them to be happy. And so I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm just going to say, you're okay. I affirm you. Now, what would we say about a doctor like that? We say, he's probably guilty of malpractice. Amen? You walk out of there and you die of a stroke or a heart attack, and the doctor never told you. Well, there might be a lawsuit. And yet a lot of people want Jesus to be like that. Just affirm them and say nice things. Just tell them that everything is fine. And in the end, Jesus can't do that. He loves us too much. And He knows. He knows that there's some very serious things that can be wrong in our life. And if we're not serious about looking at them, we can end up not in heaven. Let's put it that way. We may end up in hell. And the Lord wants to save us that trip. And so it is that when we come to Jesus, come on, if we're honest, all of us got stuff going on. I'm not saying what I'm about to say is true of all of us, but a lot of us struggle with being unforgiving, unmerciful, unkind. Some of us struggle with questions of chastity. We don't have authority over our sexuality and we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. Some of us struggle with addictions. Some of us struggle with being greedy, lustful. Some of us struggle with just being lazy. And we come to the Lord in that condition, and the Lord has to say to us, we've got to look at these things in your life. Now, I want to touch you and heal you and give you the strength to change. But some things have to change. Now, all of us know that we've got some stuff in us that we can't bring to heaven. I'm not just even talking about our sins. Sometimes it's about hurts. Sometimes it's about sorrows and regrets. And sometimes it's just about our sin. But I got news for you. You can't bring any of that stuff to heaven with you. So we got to go to Jesus. And at some point, Jesus has to talk to us about those things. Now, why am I going through all this? Because He asked them, who do people say that I am? And there were a lot of different opinions. And then Peter expressed the opinion that was correct, but he's still a little bit off about it. And I'm just asking you, all of us, to think about this, young people and older ones. That some of us have something, sometimes a distorted notion about Jesus. And the most common distortion today is just Jesus as the nice guy. Jesus as the one who just affirms me, and pats me on the head, and does nice things. And He does all those things, but He's also a good doctor. And the doctor says, I got good news. You don't need surgery, but we need to talk about your weight. We need to talk about whatever's going on in your life. Jesus is a strong Savior. Someone who wants to talk to us about things we'd rather He not talk to us about. Now, the final section of the homily today has to do with the cross. One of the things the Lord says is, I need for you to understand something. I have not come as Messiah to rule in a palace, to head up a political party. I have not come to head up an economy. I have not come to lead an army. I have come to die on the cross, to save you from your sins. Peter is shocked by this kind of talk. That is not the understanding that I have of the Messiah. Now, Jesus, get in line with my expectations. I don't want to go to some stupid cross. I want to head to the palace. I want to be your prime minister. And I want to wear fancy robes and have people call me sir. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Because at the heart of what Satan wants to do is to have you and me hate the cross and avoid the cross. And you know why? Because that's the only way to salvation. Church, I said that's the only way. And Jesus is very angry when someone wants to deny the necessity of the cross. He says it is satanic because the only way to salvation is through the cross. First of all, he has to die for us. But then he says, you got to take up your own cross. Now, young people, today we marched in, we came down the aisle. What led the procession? The cross, the crucifix. Now, let me show you what did not lead the procession. We didn't hold up a pillow and walk in with a pillow, did we? Someone said, Father, how come you get a cushion up there, but we don't get a cushion? I don't know. I just inherited this thing, you know. Maybe in solidarity, I'll remove my cushion. How about that? You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus says, the devil wants you to think that life is about a big fluffy pillow. That life is about your comfort. That life is about what you want. That life is about your preferences. That life is about your comfort, your ego. That life is about everything that you should have that you want. That's the devil's way. But let me tell you something about a Christian. He wants you to lie down on a pillow so that you will morally fall asleep and wake up in hell. Hello? A pillow is not what we marched in with today. We marched behind a cross. The devil wants you to fall asleep on a pillow and wake up in hell. The Lord says, it's the cross. Now, he's not trying to tell us this just to beat us up and make life difficult. He's just trying to tell us some sober truths. He gave us paradise, church, amen? That was God's original plan. But guess what? How many of you know we don't live in paradise anymore? Rule number one that'll set you free is this. Life is hard. And we sometimes just have to begin to accept the fact that life can be difficult. And there's something saving about that. Now, young people, I want to tell you something. Life is hard. And you just got to be clear about that. You got to get up in the morning, whether you feel like it or not. You got to study hard. You got to work hard. You got to put in your time. And then you get a little rest at the end of the day. But if we're not willing to accept that, life gets even harder. Now, let me ask you to think about it for a minute. What if you never study? Do you think your future is going to be more difficult or less difficult? Well, you don't want to answer. But you know, don't you? You don't study, you don't pass the test. You don't pass the test, you don't pass the grade. Eventually, you end up dropping out of school. I got news for you. Your life is going to be a lot harder than if you just put in the work today, you take up your cross today, you study, you work hard, you grow, you hone your skills, and then you get out there, and there's a lot more options available for you. But the Lord is saying that today, there's a cross for you. And the cross is to sit here and listen to this crazy priest. But the cross is about learning self-discipline. You see, the cross isn't just about physical sufferings or sufferings that are inflicted, but taking up our cross is also about things like self-discipline. See, if all we do is gratify our pleasures, we know that before long we're in pretty bad shape. But if you learn to take up the cross of self-discipline and live with moderation and live with being able to accept the fact that you just can't do everything you please whenever you please, you learn self-discipline. That's the cross. But there's always life that comes from the cross. And I want you to know something. After all my years of hard work, it's paying off. I have developed over my life some good habits that really help me now. I've learned to work hard. I've learned to get up and do what I need to do, and get it done before I get to bed, and not to keep putting things off and keep putting things off. It's a very great grace to have, but you've got to develop it when you're young. So I hope you're paying attention. The cross of self-discipline. The Lord is holding it up before you today, and He's saying, pay attention. Your life will get very difficult very quickly if you don't learn. If you don't learn self-discipline, if you don't learn to control yourself, because if you can't control yourself, before you know it, life goes out of control. And you're following every whim, drinking too much, having inappropriate sexual activities, all kinds of things going on. And your life spirals out of control before you know it. So if you can't take up the daily cross, a much bigger cross is in store for you. But not a cross that God wants for you. A cross that you'll put on your own shoulders. And life gets very difficult very quickly. So the Lord is our doctor today. And He's saying that the cross is important in your life. And without the cross, you'll never truly live. And you won't be able to do the things you need to do. How many of us who are a little bit older, how many of us can testify? Where would you be today without the cross that you've taken up? What is it that you have that you truly value that didn't come at a high price? Maybe it's your career. Years of study and preparation. Showing up to work every day. Getting the promotions. Moving up through the chain of command in the company or wherever you are. But that was hard work. Amen? That was a struggle. A cross. Where would you be today? Some of you who have raised children, now look at them with great pride. You know the meaning of the cross, amen? You say, oh, the crosses I had to carry to raise my children, but it was worth it. Oh, brothers and sisters, where would we be today without our crosses? The Lord is giving us a wisdom that we want to run from, and the devil wants us to think, no, your life is about a pillow. And the Lord says, no, your life it's about a cross. But that cross brings you life. And that cross will lead you one day to eternal life. But you got to be willing to take it up. You know the old hymn? I'll conclude with this thought. You know the old hymn? I think it was Vicki Winans sang it. No cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. I want to just read you some of the verses from that hymn. If you can't stand a little disappointment, sometimes. If you can't stand being talked about, sometimes. If you think you should always be up and never, never down, I've come to remind you, no cross, no crown. If you can't stand being lied about, sometimes. If you can't stand a little heartache, sometimes. If you think you should always smile and never, never frown, I've come to remind you, no cross. No crown. And the older version of that hymn says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Now there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. It's like going to the doctor, isn't it? The doctor loves us. The doctor wants what's best for us. But sometimes the doctor has to give us difficult medicine. And the Lord says, He's not kidding with us today, church. He says, life is hard. Now sober up about that fact. Stop complaining so much about it and just learn to take up your cross. And I promise you, I will give you the strength to carry the crosses that I have for you. I promise you that there will come life from the cross. I promise you. Look where I am today. I took my cross and now I'm at the Father's right hand. Someone say hallelujah. I promise you, if you take up your cross, life will come. And church, we already know. We don't have to wait till eternity to know that, do we? We've all seen fruits come from the crosses we've carried. Even the cross of suffering. I've been through some difficult passages in my life, and so have you, but I want you to know I look back and I say, I never want to go through it again. But I learned some important things, and it blessed me in the end. So it is, church. The Lord is promising us today. He's giving us strong medicine. Medicine we don't want to take. But He says, I promise you, you take your medicine. The cross of suffering, the cross of self-discipline, I promise you. And I've already proved to you that there is a blessing on the other side. You think you should always be up and never, never down. I've come to remind you, no cross, no crown. Someone say amen.